So hope, hope for the future, eternal hope is more our focus this morning. We're all encouraged to be doing our bit for the environment. Apologies to those joining us on Zoom if you don't get a clear picture of what's on screen. You won't miss the important bits, don't worry. We're all encouraged to be doing our bit for the environment, to adopt greener lifestyles, to use renewable energy sources, to choose sustainable purchasing options. We're looking to net zero carbon strategies, to limit climate change to 1.5 degrees. And all of that is excellent stuff. Reducing our impact on the ecosystems of the world, allowing the planet to thrive. And it's all part of our creation mandate, too, to take care of this planet and all of its biodiversity. But this morning, I want us to lift our eyes to an even bigger goal than that. And yet one that is definitely achievable, and it's achievable because God has promised it. It's a goal that's even better for the planet, even better for us than limiting climate change. Because I think that far too often we pitch our hopes for the future too low. I mean, think for a moment, what do you hope for the future of the planet? Setting aside our longing to see climate change under control, I want to suggest that our vision needs to be bigger than that, needs to be much, much bigger than that. Because if we share God's vision for our planet is far more glorious than anything we imagine even possible. Nothing short of the restoration of the glory of the Garden of Eden. A glorious life as it was always intended to be sort of world. The Christian's hope for the future is not based just on wishful thinking, on a vague notion of what might come. But a Christian definition of hope is a confident expectation of, a confident expectation of what God has promised. As Peter Harwood was saying here in the first sermon of this series, if you can remember back a month, God has kept his promises in the past, so we can trust that he will keep his promises for the future. He is trustworthy. We've seen him trustworthy in the past, faithful in the past. He's not about to change. So what has God promised for the future? In our Isaiah reading, God promises, I will create new heavens and a new earth. He says, be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. There will come a time when life will be changed. It'll be very different from life as we know it. And we'll know God's delight in us. And there'll be an end to weeping, to mourning, to sickness, to disease, to death. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Life will be different, but it won't be all ethereal or super spiritual. You know, we're not going to sit on a cloud playing a harp and singing songs forever. Isaiah tells us that it'll be a very down-to-earth, or down-to-new-earth anyway. Life will be very down-to-earth and practical. He says that we will build houses and dwell in them. We will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. We will long enjoy the work of our hands. Lots of things there that are a continuation of life as we know it. Some things will be different. The wolf, for example, the wolf and the lamb will feed together and the lion will eat straw like the ox. This is Garden of Eden life restored on a restored, renewed earth. This is life in the world as God intended life to be lived. It turns out that God has a future plan that encompasses not only humanity, but the whole of the created order that we are part of. I think we're often tempted to think of heaven as a place we go to when we die, and then where does the rest of creation fit in our thinking at that point? It sort of vaguely disappears somewhere. But we won't be leaving creation behind. We may be the pinnacle of God's creation activity, his top of the range model, but we're not separate from everything else that he has created. God will redeem fallen humanity, but he will also redeem the rest of the created order too. Because there's a sense in which creation has fallen from what it was intended to be. That the world that we see around us is not meant to be like this. When Adam and Eve, made in God's image as the final act of creation, when they failed in their creation mandate, when they spurned God's good order and decided that they knew better and they'd go for it alone, when they deliberately went outside of the bounds that God had given them, when they fell, so the rest of creation fell with them. The effects of human sin corrupting our very nature spread like a cancer throughout the whole of creation. And as human life would never be the same again, so things started going badly for the whole of creation too. Remember, we are part of creation. We're not separate from it. It's quite reasonable that when we fell, we took the rest of the creation down with us. In our Romans reading, the Apostle Paul writes, the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice. It was subjected to frustration. Paul gives creation its own distressed voice when he says, it's not going to go, try again. When he says, the whole of creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Creation groans. If those groans could be articulated, they would say something like, it shouldn't be like this. It shouldn't be like this. Indeed, Paul gives creation its own longing heart when he says, creation waits in eager expectation. Creation waits for, longs for, yearns for a time when it will no longer be like this. A time when, as he goes on to say, creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay. A time when creation itself will be brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. Well, when will that time be? He says, all of this will be when the children of God are revealed. What? When will that be? What's he talking about? What's he going on about? This is where it gets very interesting, really, because the eternal future of the planet, the created order around us, is tied in very closely with the eternal future of the people of God, of the Church of Jesus Christ, of us. See, you and I have in store, perhaps tucked in our back pockets, the most glorious gift to give to the rest of God's creation. A gift worth far more than limiting climate change to 1.5 degrees, good though that is. Because as we achieve our destiny as people recreated in the image of God, as we enter through faith into the new heaven and the new earth, as God gives us resurrection life, as he gives us life as it was always intended to be, so he will release the rest of the created order from a bondage into decay and into the same glorious life as it was always intended to be, freedom. Listen to what lies in the future for you. Listen to what God promises through Paul. He starts this passage, this reading, saying, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Glory. You're destined for glory and not just sitting on a cloud somewhere. A glorious freedom. A glorious life as it was created to be in the Garden of Eden. Such glory that makes whatever we might suffer in the meantime feel insignificant compared to that glory. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Such glory is coming that all the rest of creation longs for its revelation. Longs for that time to happen. The creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. Glory awaits not just for the people of God, the children of God, but for the rest of creation too. Together we anticipate the revelation of God's glory, starting with the people of God, but embracing the whole of creation. For in this hope, Paul concludes this little section, for in this hope we were saved. This is Christian hope. A return to life as it was always intended to be. This is what we can confidently expect because God has promised it and God is faithful to his promises. So what? Does all that just lie in the future sometime? Or could it make any kind of difference to this week? Well, let's see. Firstly, be encouraged. Such a future hope resting on God's sure and certain promises makes the trials and tribulations of this life, in Paul's eyes, kind of incomparably insignificant, but at least whilst we're going through those trials, we can say, well, there's something far, far, far better yet to come. Be encouraged. Our lives are going somewhere. Our faith is going somewhere. Our toil is worth it. Paul wrote, our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Be encouraged to keep on going. Secondly, be patient. At the end of the reading, he says, if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. What God has promised, God will deliver. Wait in confidence of what is yet to come. There is something glorious to come. And thirdly, don't just be hopeful, be hope-filled. Wait in eager expectation of the glory that is to come. Through faith in Jesus, you will experience life as it was always intended to be. The fullness of glorious freedom in the Garden of Eden world. And remember that Christian hope is a confident expectation of what God has promised. We have something much better to look forward to than just limiting climate change to 1.5 degrees, although that is incredibly important, and I don't want to talk that down at all. But God has something far greater in store. He's calling out a new Adam and a new Eve, and the New Testament pictures that as Jesus and his bride, Jesus and the church, the new Adam, new Eve. He's calling all of those who want to be part of his future to be set free from their past. He's giving us the chance to set aside the stain of Adam's sin, to be remade in the image of his son. And he's promising a renewed creation to put us in, a new Garden of Eden, a new glorious life as it was always intended to be world. Let's pray together. Lord, sometimes your promises seem too far off to be real to us today. But you want us to build our hope on what you have promised, because we know you are faithful. You've been faithful in the past. You're not about to change now. And so we put our hand in you and say, help us to be patient, help us to be positive, and help us to be filled with the glorious hope that you set before us of one day returning to life as it was always intended to be. Amen.